We started on last week, Free Indeed. Marvin looks.
What?
Who were you last week? Oh, she's online. Okay. I'm like, I don't remember. What do you mean you weren't here? Okay. So Free Indeed. And the example, like I said, I used last week was, let's say two people broke out of prison. I mean, one person broke out of prison, and he's free. Okay, so he's living his life free, but he's really not free because he has to always look over his shoulder. They're always going to be looking for him. He really can't. So he's still in bondage, in extreme bondage. The person who did his time, got out, did everything he was supposed to, and he's free indeed because there's nothing else that's really holding him in. Most people down here that think they're free are really not free. And this is what Jesus is showing us in this, of how to be free indeed, in terms that really means to be truly free. And we have to understand that that's so important for us. Because I know, like I said, we like to talk about our country because we like to say we're free. Well, unfortunately, you know, we're in extreme bondage. We got to see that whatever rules you and things of that sort. I got these broccoli mites flying around. But so so understanding that how whatever you allow to rule your life becomes your master, and that becomes a problem. We left off where it says knowing and keeping Christ's word is the only thing that truly sets us free. Okay, so this is where we're now going to get into the nitty gritty and understanding of what does it mean to truly be free. Now I start in John 8:31. Through 32, it says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus says, if, everybody say if. Yeah. Now watch what he says. If you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. Remember, a lot of actions we do now, the works we do now are evidence. They're not paths to. Do you know the difference, what I mean by that? In other words, you don't go, oh, so today I'm going to go home and read my Bible to get near Christ. To become a Christian, you're going to say, hey, because I'm a Christian, I'm going to read my Bible. So it's the evidence that you truly are. So you may say to yourself, man, I never used my Bible. Man, maybe I really didn't accept Christ. That's what this is so important when you hear me say, the evidence, okay? So when he's saying the if, he's saying, here's your evidence. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. If anybody ever questioned, am I really his disciples? Only those who held his teachings. He says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So he starts off there. That's the truth. And that's, you know, we love to say that. The truth, tell the truth, and the truth will set you free. He's letting you know how to know it. If you hold my teachings, then you will know the truth. The key is not just know my teachings. He said, hold my teachings. See, the thing I'm learning even more and more, as I'm growing in his word and I'm holding means, there's going to come situations, okay, where you know God's word, and you're going to be put in between something, and you're going to have to make a decision. Either do what his word says, holding it, or go off of it and do what you think is common sense, not holding it. So that you even have Christians, or those who call themselves Christians, who have knowledge of the word, but they're not holding. Does that make sense? Holding means I'm going to go in a situation and everybody else is doing something else, and it seems like it's working, but I still do what he says. That's me holding his teaching. Does that make sense? Okay? He says, then the truth will say, then you'll truly know the truth. We've distorted the truth so much, we keep giving sight. We keep giving people how things look. So that's why people's testimonies usually, I did this and this did this, amen, praise God. And people go, amen, hallelujah. So then we're looking for our own thing, where God is saying, I didn't say I would do that. Where are you getting that? Does that make sense? You know what I mean? So he's saying, if you hold my teachings, you will know the truth, and that's what's going to set you free. In John 8, if you go down to 34, 36, this is Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Okay, and that Aramaic or Greek for sins means continual sin or living in sin. So anyone who lives in sin basically is a slave to sin. It says, now a slave has no permanent place in the family. He's basically saying, so if I'm still living for sin, I'm not a Christian. And you understand, either you're a son or you're not. And if you're a slave, in other words, you're doomed for whatever's happening outside. The only one that inherits are the sons. Y'all get where I'm coming from, okay? So he says, but a son belongs to it forever. And then he goes in verse 36, so if, say if again, the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Did y'all catch that? Alright? So he's saying, only if Christ sets you free, and we just seen earlier how to be set free by him, is the only way you'll truly be set free. Now, just even staying strong on that, looking at the Greek word for hold, it means in a given state to abide, to dwell in, to remain, to stand, to tarry. It means to wait in, all of those things, okay? So it means I don't leave that at all, okay? And if you look at today's word, or look at today, we dabble in the word, we apply it when we think it's useful for us, but we don't stay in it. And stay in it doesn't mean I continue read it. Like I said, in your life, in everything you do, it'll be applied. And the way you really know it is you're going to be put in some, and all of us will be, because the Bible says it, in some weird situations to say which way you're going to take. Do y'all get this? And one way he knew it, like even an example, there's a verse in there where after he starts talking about things that the rest of the crowd didn't want to hear, everybody else left, and only his disciples stayed away. He said, aren't y'all going to leave? And they said, where else do we have to go? And they basically told him, you're the Christ. That was one of those opportunities where everybody else was like, well, he's not giving us more fish sandwiches. He's not telling us stuff we like to hear. We're not seeing any more miracles. We're going to leave. And they left. Well, the disciples were like, no, this is Christ. We don't realize we're doing the exact same thing. We kind of go to Christ when we feel like it, when it seems to work out, not because he's Christ. And that's the problem. You understand that? So we're truly not free. Does everybody get that? Indeed, the Greek word comes from ontose, which means really, certainly. Indeed means truth or verily. It means really. You remember how Jesus used to go, verily, verily? Or, he's saying, for real. No, you're really, but only. And so out of this entire world, anybody who says they're free is, everybody who says they're free, the only ones that are truly free are the ones who follow this pattern. Does everybody get that? Okay, we understand that, okay? This is so important because hopefully it opens up your eyes to see how many people are still in bondage. There are many people on this earth who are still in bondage. Now, being in Christ is a lifestyle, not just a statement. And that's the problem, because a lot of us make statements, especially when we got into the grace movement, where grace was explained incorrectly. We would tell people, say this verse, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that he raised Christ from the dead, and now you're saved. And they'll say that, and you'll see them kind of saying it like, am I saved now? And they'll move on, they'll live their life the way they were, and they'll say, I'm saved. And we're deceiving a lot of people, because Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, will enter the kingdom, only he who does the will of my Father. And the problem is, we haven't taught, this is a person who made the decision to accept. When I say, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, what am I saying? He now runs my life. So it becomes a lifestyle. The hope I now have is he raised him from the dead. I'm headed for that same path of resurrection. So it says in Romans 8, 1 to 4, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who are in Christ Jesus. We love using that term, but usually we use it incorrectly for people who just made a statement. It says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and it was weakened by the sinful nature. So in other words, if y'all don't understand this, how the law works, that spiritual law was given to me for me, who's not spiritual, to follow. That's what it was. Now, the reason why he did that was to show us, you can't do it. Do you understand? God said, okay, I'm going to give you this. Now do it. For man to prove, he can't do it without him. That's why it's so important for me to realize I am nothing without God. Do y'all get that? Okay, so the law, all the law did, it was put there, and I said, this is what I'm supposed to do. Remember in chapter 7 before, chapter 8 of Romans, where it says, I do what I do not want to do, but it's not me that do it, but the sin that lives in me. It's him saying, I know what the law says, but I keep doing this. That's the sinful nature. And he says, so me trying to follow the law kept being weakened by my desire or my sinful nature. It went on to say, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of a sinful man to be a sin offering. Basically, Christ came down here and went through the same stuff we went through, depending on God. That's what we didn't do. Fully depending on God, didn't sin, but still was punished as if he did sin in our place. Y'all see how that works? Okay, so now, it says, and so he condemned sin in sinful man. It says, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live. Why do I put this in bold? When it says, so it might be fully met in us, now he's describing who the us is. In other words, the only ones that benefit from it are the ones I have here in the capital letters, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Did y'all catch that? Okay? He's not talking about people who say, I am a Christian. He's talking about those who live Christian. He said, in other words, Christ did all of that because even if I did now live righteous, I'm still doomed because everything wasn't met. What did I need to do to make everything met? What did I need to do to pay off my debt? No, no, before that. In other words, when it was with no Christ, what could I do to pay off my debt? Huh? Die. I had to die. And after I died, I'm doomed. So in other words, I couldn't, like you said, nothing. But I want you to understand, wages of sin are death. Do you understand that? So he's saying it still had to be met. Even if I messed up once and said, okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to be good from this point forward. I already messed up. I fell short. He's basically saying, but you got to pay for that. Why do I pay for it? You got to die. So his mercy first said, okay, I'll give you some animals to be in your place for the time being. But these are just a shadow of what's to come. I'm going to give you somebody to be in your place, but you got to fully accept. Do y'all see this? Do y'all see how that works? Okay. So this is what he means when he says, in order that the righteous requirements of the law, you sin, you should have died. That's what should have died. That's what would have paid off the sin. Y'all get it? Everybody understand that? Hopefully y'all get that. Okay. So it's saying Christ did that for us, but it only benefits those who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Do y'all see why I do fruit of the Spirit every year? Because there are many people who, by title, say they're Christian, who, by title, think they're benefiting from Christ, and they're on a nice long path to hell. I told you, the one thing that always kind of drove me was, I'm devastated when I hear him go, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. There are people who truly, truly think that just because they say that. Now, I don't know where Aretha Franklin was with this, but a lot of people gave her an honorary path to heaven. Is that going to do it? You understand? Okay? But I think a lot of people think, because her dad was a minister and she sang in the church, you know what I mean? Well, then, it's a no-brainer. John McCain, same thing with him. He never really professed. I don't know. I'm saying that he was not the one. He did stuff that we would call morally right at times, but he never professed to say if he was or not. But once again, you have people that are given honorary. If you didn't know any better, and we weren't Christians, you'd look at this and go, so does that all have to be as an upstanding person in the community, a person that's well respected, and not be what the word says? Do you understand that? And Satan's like, I don't care if they're honored. I don't care if they love them. I don't care if they, as long as you follow them and don't follow this. Does everybody get this? Okay? Very important for us to get. So he's saying, and he's excluding the group, those who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. It's going to be either or. Question? You with me? Okay, praise God. So then it says, our path, or walk, becomes a slave to God, but my flesh still wants to serve me. Okay, that's why I showed you a diagram. This is really stated for us. Romans 7:25 says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Now, that's the battle you go through. If I'm a Christian, this is why I got to keep in prayer. I got to keep coming to church. I got to study my word so my mind stays focused. Because in my mind, I know this is what Christ wants me to do. When I let go of those, my flesh takes over. My flesh goes, no, we want to do this. My mind, what does the Bible say? Flesh, we want to do this. Y'all get this? Okay? So he makes it very clear when he says, in my mind, slave to God's law. I got to do this. The flesh will go, well, I know a bunch of other people that are doing this, and they're fine. Y'all see how this works? This is that battle you go through. It says, in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Because the sinful nature caters to you. Sinful nature serves you. Your desires serve you. Are desires bad? No. Nope. Desires themselves are not bad. What's bad is me following my desires over God. That's what's bad. Everybody get that? And that's what the sinful nature wants. It's, if you like it, you should do it. Right? And then we mess up. Okay? So then it goes on, without Christ, we are all slaves to sin. Everybody. Romans 6, 15 through 23. It says, what then shall we sin? What then shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Okay, so, and it's what some teach. Some say, well, since you're under grace, you're safe. Okay? And he's saying, no. And watch what he says. He says, don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as a slave, you are slaves to the one whom you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. He's basically saying, if I accept Christ, I'm saying, I accept him as my sacrifice, but I'm saying he's my Lord. So I now become a slave to Christ. Do you understand that? So I'm now going to follow Christ. But if I say I'm a slave to Christ, but I still keep following my flesh, then I'm a slave to sin. And he's giving you the outcome of both. He's saying, whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. Y'all see how this works? Okay? So when I accept Christ, it's more than me just saying it. It's me now following it. Me becoming it. And that's why he says in verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obey the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. Is he talking about you? And that's what we have to ask. Is he talking about me when he says this? He says in verse 18, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. So once again, not only are now you free from the consequences of the sins you've done before, but now you're free from the clamp it has on you. It goes from being, I couldn't help it because all you knew was the flesh, to I didn't help it, to it being a choice. Y'all see how this works? Okay? And it goes on. I put this in human terms because you are weak in the natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body to slavery, to impurity, to the ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them to slavery, to righteousness, leading to holiness. He's saying you used to do things based on what you desire, now do things based on what he says. Simple as that. And for him to say that, he's saying, you're no longer trapped to go, but I can't. Now you're going, okay, I will. What his grace has done is empowered us to now live for him. Okay? It says, slave to righteousness, which leading to holiness. It says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. Do you understand that? Okay? You're free, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. That's weird how it's saying, because it's saying it in reverse. When I was a slave to sin, righteousness couldn't get a hold on me. Because my master was sin. That's why I do what I do not want to do, but it's sin living in me. It's almost me telling righteousness, I want to do that, but I can't. That's what he's saying. And what grace did was set me free from that I can't. Amen? That's why I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Alright, verse 21. It says, what benefit did it reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. It was saying, it was, in other words, the final result of them was going to be this eternal death. This is, but now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is what? Eternal life. That verse, that section I just read, explains it, really breaks it down more than a lot of parts in there to show how this whole thing works. Do you understand? Okay? It's not only am I set free from the punishment of the sin, I'm set free from the trapping of sin. I am now free to live for him and to keep growing in him. Everybody get that? Unless I keep living for me. Choice. Why do you think he called it terrible times? Because we have a choice, and even worsely are still choosing us. Isn't that something? Like, we don't really know what the people of old really went through. That's why it's going to be more tolerable for them. Do you understand that? We don't know what they were going through when they were going through their battles, because they didn't have what we have today. Right? Okay? We are, you know, somebody was talking about it, and I know I still remember driving somewhere, and my grandfather got a new station wagon. Seats were pleather, genuine pleather. But and I remember sticking to the back of it because the air conditioner was that back window that didn't go all the way down. I don't know when they started not letting it go all the way down. But remember when you start rolling down, you're like, so we're sitting in the back going, we can't roll the window down. We're burning up because there was no air conditioning in it. And that was how it was. And nobody died. Not necessarily. You got where I'm coming from. Now, man, you don't turn that air on. What is the matter with you? Do you understand that? We can't live. This is inhumane. You understand that? I guess you call it, but you understand that when you get used to or entitled, you become, but I deserve, I'm supposed to have. And that's what's happened to us. We catered so much to the flesh that living for Christ is such, it seems impossible, which makes today terrible. Do y'all get this? Amen? Genuine pleasure was very good. Okay, 23. Genuine pleasure. That's right. For the wages of sin is death. That's what I was saying to y'all earlier. And the gift of God is eternal life. It's one or the other. Either I live for myself and I have to give death then, because I basically didn't accept Christ, or the gift of God. When I live for Him, I accepted Christ paying for my wage. Okay? Now, when we are set free by Christ, we are no longer in bondage to sin. It simply becomes a choice. So we're seeing this even clearer more. 1 Corinthians 6:12. Everything is permissible for me. What does that mean? You can do anything you want. Right now, you are free now that nobody's going to come out and stone you. Nobody's going to come out. Right now, we're set free that we can do anything we want. But watch this. He says, but not everything is beneficial. He also gave us outcome. You keep going it, but, you know, so a person can keep smoking all they want, but the outcome is going to be, you got one coming from. These are worldly things you're going to see. Somebody, when they get lung cancer, it's almost like, okay, but you kept smoking. It was your choice to smoke. You understand that? And I know it's harsh and it seems hard, but that's the case. And that's a lot of stuff we're doing today. At the moment, we don't see it, but he's saying, what is it really going to benefit you? That's what he's saying. Everything's not beneficial. This is something that it's through the wisdom that God gives us, makes us stop. Okay, I'm getting ready to do this. What is it going to benefit? That's why it's to our benefit to go do everything to the glory of God. Because he's the only true benefit. He goes in again and says, everything's permissible to me, but I will not, you notice what he's saying here? Be mastered by anything. I will not. So in reality, Christians really should be immune from being addicts. Y'all get this? Reason why we are catering to the flesh. Amen? Catering to the flesh. And it's hard. Yes, it's hard. And maybe I said this earlier, maybe we have to stop saying it's hard. It's become hard because we are living in this realm. Instead of realizing, no. Remember he says, my burdens are easy. You know what I mean? We have to understand that we really take on his yoke. My yoke is easy, my burdens are light. But we understand that it's not, if we really worked under his, then we wouldn't be in this hard area that we're in right now. Look at Galatians 5, verse 1. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Okay, that's true freedom. Then he says, stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Do you notice that's the choice again? He's saying, okay, so Christ went all this. He did all this to set you free. Why do you keep looking back to the flesh? To be enslaved by it again. Do y'all get this? He's showing you choice. He's saying, why are you doing that? When he says stand firm, and the firmness means the word will tell you to do something. I gave you that example where you have this word. Hold to his word, right? Hold to his word. You're going to go through something. It's going to look better to do something else. But you know it's better to do what he says. It's going to look better to do something else. But you're going to know better to do what he says. Did y'all catch that? Okay, now why am I stressing that? Because we have this word, and we still keep walking by sight, and it keeps making us do things based on what we see, not on what he says. Amen? Okay? And that becomes a major problem. Look at another example under how it's a choice. Romans 6, 5-7. It says, if we have been united with him, like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was, everybody say was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. But anyone who has died has been free from sin. Now, death After Jesus, when you accept Christ, there's a choice. I'm supposed to put to death this body of sin. What we do is we say we accept Christ and we carry ourselves. We never put ourselves to death. So now we're trying to live for ourselves and live for Christ. Two masters. Something about two masters, the Bible said. You can't live for two masters. You hate one, love the other. He says you cannot. So if you haven't let go of the one and you think you grabbed Christ, guess what? You're still holding on to that one. So that's the people that have not accepted Christ. Y'all see, this whole process is a choice. The freedom from Christ is for us to stay in. Okay? The freedom from Christ that He gives to us, that's not away from Christ. It means that He gives us, the freedom that Christ gives to us, basically, is for us to stay in. In other words, it doesn't trap us. It's a choice for you to stay in. Colossians 1:21-23 says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. What he means by that is, because I was so inclined to do what I felt and what I desired, it kept pushing me away from God. You understand? Because I was a slave to what I wanted to do. Further and further away from God. It says, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you as his holy sight without blemish and free from accusations. If. Everybody say if. So now once again, we saw what he did for us, but it's only going to benefit the people on the other side of the if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held it out in the gospel. This gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now look at what he's saying. He's saying, so Christ died for and made you as if you didn't sin, only for those who, first of all, continue in your faith. Not just have faith and say a few words in the beginning. Continue in. That's a lifestyle, okay? Established and firm. So not just continue in your faith. And this is where I told you today we're struggling. Established and firm means that defines me. This is a life of faith. Does that make sense? And not budging. I'm not faith on Monday and worldly on Tuesday, a little bit of faith on Thursday. I'm going to have a faith red light, whatever, on Friday, but then wait till Saturday comes around and I got to let my faith put it in a basket somewhere. You got to get where I'm coming from? Or I use faith when I'm around my faith friends, but I got to use worldly when I'm around my worldly friends. Y'all see where I'm going with this, okay? Establishing firm means faith always. Always. And God will test your faith by putting you through things that looks like they went miserably and you still don't budge. That's a very important one right there. I can't stress that because that's a hard one, because we keep giving people these, and you hear me saying it's a theme that's going on nowadays where people are still looking for, I did this and God gave you this. That's not faith, that's sight. Okay, you can give God glory, but that's not what we're calling that faith. What a testimony shouldn't be, I did this and God did this. That shouldn't be your testimony necessarily. Okay? Every once in a while I can come up, but that shouldn't be your testimony. My testimony is, I did what God said, period. How did it work out for you? Doesn't matter. I did what God said, period. Remember, I said, it's not outcome. It's what? Output. Output. He's not going to go, hey, how much money did you make, Keith? He's going to go, Keith, what did you do? Well, when I did it, I lost my job. I didn't ask all that. What did you do? I did exactly what you told me. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Did y'all catch that? What did you do? Well done, that's all. Not, but God, when I did it your way, I lost my job, and this didn't happen, so I stopped. And I started doing this other way, and I started making money, and I felt happy, and I did this. He went, got it. Okay. So hopefully you can get into heaven. Do y'all catch that? Okay. So the point to you, that's what he's saying, if you stay and continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. The hope we all should be living for is the return of Christ. That should be everybody's hope. Unfortunately, we call that our hope, but you could tell when somebody has hope, because I think we all have been there. I'm raising my hand. Where we just go, God, I'm done. I'm just ready to end it, because we just showed, because my hope was something else. could have been in a thing, a car, or money, or a relationship, or my family, or a job, or it's something there that devastated me. But you're only truly devastated when your hope is gone. Amen? See, if there was a job I really wanted, and I've seen it pass by and I didn't get it, and I'm devastated, that was my hope. You understand that? Okay? There's a relationship I really wanted to be in, and either they died or they got married or something else happened, and I'm devastated, that was my hope. Nothing wrong with desire, you know, but understand it's just desire. You understand? If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, okay, God. You understand? Hope is, I'm waiting for Christ to come. That's my pure hope. All these other things are going to be desires. If he gives them, amen. If he doesn't, amen. That's devastating to hear that sometimes. People want their hope. A lot of us are living for other things down here. It seems like lift, 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 and then drop. You understand that? And then drop. And you're devastated. Why? Because your hope wasn't on Christ. You use Christ as a nice, you know, garnish or whatever that you use on the outside. Well, in reality, your hope is not in him. And that's the problem. Amen? Alright. So the process of how Christ releases us from bondage and how we stay free. Okay? How does this process work? Well, first of all, Jesus became just like us to pay the penalty for us in order to free us. Okay? So in Hebrews 2:14-18, it says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. Now that's so important, because if we teach it wrong, people will go, when you see Christ go through something, oh, it doesn't mean anything because he was Christ. Is that how we do it? Oh yeah, it's okay, he was Christ. Okay, and they're saying, no, he stripped off all of that you've seen. You remember the movie Superman? It's one of the older Supermans, Christopher Reeve played it, and he went to that thing because he wanted to marry Lois Lane, and he got rid of all his power. They all know, okay, never mind. But, so, he was just another man, if y'all ever seen that, okay? It was a born Superman, but it was still, he went into this thing, and he turned it, and he became just a regular human. There was nothing else to it, and he went to the deli, and he beat him up. Superman got beat up. Makes no sense. You understand that? But you understand that? To where Jesus, for us, got beat up. You understand that? Why? Because he was us. 100%. Difference was, trusted in God. Y'all get this? And not just us, he was Adam. That's significant. Okay? Because that's why Romans 15 explains it to us, where since condemnation entered into one man and affected men, a many have the opportunity now to get justice through one. Okay, he's Adam. He's the same thing as Adam, made by earth, by God. You know what I mean? So made by Eve, God. Same. So all the same things started, like starting it all over again. Do y'all see that? Okay. And now we have the same access and the same chance. That's how his mercy works. Some people go, "How is he just like this? He didn't have a father." He had the same thing that Adam had. Amen. Y'all see how that works? Okay. So it went on to say, it goes on to say, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. Talking about the time Satan had. It says, that is the devil. Okay? So Satan was like, I just want him to die. I want them to lead to death, and I want to take him to death, and I want, and that's where we made up this whole thing that he's sitting on the throne in hell. Satan does not want to be in hell. I'm just letting y'all know this right now. That's not his, hell is not where he lives. He doesn't have a little house in hell. Y'all do know this, right? Okay, he doesn't have a pitchfork and a throne in hell, and it's not going to be him. No, he's going to be in torment too. Y'all do understand that, right? Okay, hopefully you understand. Him and his demons, hell was made for him and his demons to be in torment forever and ever. It says that in Revelation, to get a chance. That's where he's going to be thrown in. Okay, the people that are in the abyss right now, or the things that are in the abyss right now, are demons that somehow messed up. And we'll talk about that sometime in the future, but they somehow mess up. So they're in chains. And you got the rest of them floating around here trying to get as much dirt in as they can before that time comes. Do you understand that? Okay, so just kind of let you know that. But it's saying, devil still had, one of the powers he had was death, under the authority of God. He had to follow how God said. It says, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. People who live basically for their lives. Do you understand? Of what the heck's going to happen to me? They lived for here and now, because that's all they knew and that's all they had. It says, for surely it is not angels he helped, but Abraham's descendants. It says, for this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in what? In what? Every way. How many ways is that clue? That's always. Make sure we know that. Okay, so he was just like us. Alright? He was emotional, just like us. Frustrated, just like us. He had quirks, just like us. Problems, just like us. Here's the difference. He depended on God. That people don't understand the significance of when he said, I feel sorrowful even to the point of death. He went through an emotional moment just like us. Difference is, how do you handle it? How did he handle it? Y'all see the difference there? You know, we react. We'll make him call a cemetery. But he went to God. I'm glad I could pick on my sister. All right. I appreciate it. And I enjoyed that laugh. But anyway, but you understand that? He went to God, directly to God, instead of reacting out of his emotion. This is in every way. It says, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. Y'all catch this? Once again, significance of that also. He basically desired and really wanted to when he was tempted. Did y'all catch that? People don't like saying that. You say it to Catholics, man, they really kill you if you say that. But this, you know, he went through that desire and that temptation, but he never gave in to it. Never sinned. But it was still painful. Do y'all get this? And so that's why he fully understands what you're going through. That's why you go to him. He fully gets it. He can fully sympathize. Amen? Okay. Read this last one, and then we'll close. Now, we must receive what Christ has done for us in order to be free. So we've seen what he did. This is what we have to do. So Galatians 4, 1 through 11 says, what I'm saying is that as long as the heir is the child, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. So, you know, when we were just babes, okay, we were basically following what the world told us to do. It says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. So in other words, when we were out there in the world, we were stuck by the basic rules of the world and whatever the world told us, until Christ came and did what he did and opened up the door for us now to be treated as, I am now a son. Do y'all get this? In other words, I get the full rights of a son when you accept Christ. We have that access now. Okay? Before he came, we were just of the world. We were no different than what the world was going to get. Okay? He says, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father is like saying daddy. You know what I mean? We have that intimate, close relationship to our Father. I mean, he's my dad. You know what I mean? He's that. It's more than just Father. He says, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. It's saying, since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. Do you understand that? He's saying to the world and to yourselves. You were slaves to other things other than God. Says, but now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? So, in other words, why then, when the Bible gives us how to be reconciled, have a relationship with God, we still keep doing worldly things to live by God? Do you understand? When he says, do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear you have somehow... for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on. Basically, they're saying, here's the law. He explained the law and what the law was doing. The law was giving you a shadow of something that was to come. You follow these rules, but you're still not sons. Do y'all get what I'm saying? You guys are still not sons at the moment. Okay? You're right now, you're a kid. They'll call you children, but you're still slaves. Okay? Now, he sent Christ to free you from that. Accept Christ. But Peter kept warning, but I want to still keep playing with this. But now you don't have to play with that. Or have you not realized, or have you not accepted Christ? Does that make sense? Okay? So when I now resort back to me trying to do it through physical means or what used to be done, I haven't accepted him in what he is doing or what he has done. Y'all get that? Am I confused on it? Huh? Somebody say, I don't know. You have a question? Okay.
But it goes back to Hebrews 2.
Okay.
When it says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity,
yep.
So that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death.
Yep.
That is the devil.
Yep.
For, how does he have the power of death?
Satan does.
Well, I know it's still under God's authority, but he can just wipe out anybody who thinks.
So he had the things to cause death. He was given the key to it when the fall of man happened. You understand that? However, he had to do it based on God. You understand that? Okay? So he was killing. It says the enemy comes in. Right. He has the power. He had the power, and the authority is based on God. The authority now puts it, because he would destroy everybody, but it says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So that's what it means. That's the enemy. His job is, I got to get you so you die. That's how. So think of it this way. I have the power, but it's limited to getting you to die before you accept Christ. Do you get what I'm coming from? I have that power to do it. Now, and not even before you accept Christ at the time, before there was hope or anything, keep living for you, blah, blah, blah. You understand that? Now that there's a hope when a person now has Christ, he got rid of that. So for us as Christians, we're like, no, I'm ready to die. Not that I'm going to kill myself. It's that death thing is almost a, this, we recognize this as temporary. But man, I can't wait to get. You got to come. That's the difference. Well, before then, this was it.
He has the power. You still have the choice.
We have, no, we eventually got to die.
I'm sorry, I meant to accept his way, whatever he's using against you.
Exactly. And he wants to get you there and to kill yourself, and then you're dead. And then once you're dead, he's got it. Who else do I need? Who's next? You're absolutely right. He still has that power for those who haven't accepted Christ. Then when a person accepts Christ and they die, that's where that verse is, death, where is your sting? Do you understand that? Because it's not, it doesn't have that same power in you anymore. You know what I mean? It's no longer death of hell. It's no longer, you know what I mean? In fact, you don't really die. You once again, you know that same thing we were talking about, total destruction or torment. The other thing of when you die, some say soul sleep, and some say going to be, you know, away from the, I mean, both of these say in the Bible, away from the body is present with the Lord. You understand that? So, there are, but either which way, it's a thing of which you don't die. You're just, you know, even when the Bible says those who are asleep will first rise with Christ, we see that in 1 Thessalonians. So we see all these and how this concept works. It's just the fact of it's not death no more. To us, we're just looking to be with the Father for life eternally. Do you understand that? But for those who don't know it, death is it. And that's either, once again, eternal torment or a torment and then destruction. Amen? Everybody get this? These were some, one of those deep, okay? All right, just gotta, so you know. And where he says, if you're slow to learn, you won't get it. You'll be one of those in which, Pastor, my head hurts, and I don't want you to ever go over this again. It'll be one of those. You don't want that. And if you are there, this is where we want to grow spiritually, and that's where we want to get it, because it's one of those spiritual things where he's really given us his spiritual instruction and guidance through his word. Amen? Any other questions? Amen. Let's pray.